No, we are here because of what God has accomplished for you and for me. How he has blessed us by sending his Son into the world to give us life that will never end. To give us a life that is truly worth living. No matter what is happening around us, we still have that life worth living. He has called us. He's baptized us. He's washed us clean. And so we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now confess our sins, that we may again be assured of the forgiveness we have through Jesus Christ. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all this, and I ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The first reading for this morning we have recorded in the first chapter of John's Gospel, beginning at the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who himself, God, is in the closest relationship with the Father and has made him known." So far, the first reading. The second reading, surprise of surprises, is from Luke chapter 2. Surprised you, didn't I? Okay, Luke 2, the Christmas message. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left him and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So far the text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. About 19 months ago, we had a little baby in our house, little Isaac. And as I held that little baby in my hands, just a little button, and I looked deeply into that innocent face and said to him, "Isaac, God made you special. God made you for a purpose. There's a reason that God sent you into the world." And he looked back up at me. He couldn't understand what I was telling him, but he was soaking it all up. And that little baby has a purpose. The baby we came to worship this morning also had a purpose, a grand and glorious purpose. But what was it? What has he done so far? We read in John's gospel that he is the creator of all things. Everything that was made by him. I mean, wasn't that enough? Wasn't that enough of a purpose? No, there was more to do. You see, the wicked one, the evil one, crept into God's new creation and introduced sin, introduced evil into that perfect creation that God had made. And now there's sin in the world. God's perfect creation had been polluted. Now there's something more has to be done. You know, dads, you and I, we build a house, we buy a house. But that's not all there is it? There has to be maintenance. Constantly always having to fix this or fix that. Well, it's God's creation too. Something here had to be fixed. Because you see, man, who God loved so much, had chosen sin over God in his will. And in choosing God, man now deserves to die. You see, the law is very clear on the matter. The wages of sin is death. Now, God loves his creation. He loves mankind terribly, more than you and I can even imagine. with this great love, this great outpouring that God has for his people, he cannot abide the idea of his man dying, of mankind dying, his creation. We read in 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and 16, three little words in both of those verses. God is love. Now, it's not describing a characteristic that God has. It's not great. This is something that God does. It's talking about the very essence of which God is comprised. God is love. He can't help himself. He will love God. He will love man because he is love. And so he cannot abide the idea of man dying because of his sins. Yet he can't go around the law because God is just. He can't change. He has to abide the law. But how can he do that? How can he let man die for man's sins? Right after man fell into sin in Genesis, we see already in Genesis 3:15, God came up with a plan. He told Mary that child would crush Satan's head and Satan would only bruise his heel. That there would be an end to this evil. That God had a way out of her seed, this baby Jesus, is our Savior. Man must die for man's sins. Therefore, God says, I will become man. I will become the man to die for man's sins. Thereby, justice is being met. The law is met. Mankind's debt to sin will be paid by God himself. Can you imagine the suffering God is going to have to go through to meet that need, to fulfill that justice? In the beginning was God. He was there. He is God. And now he's going to give up being God for over 30 years to become a human being. God with unlimited power. And now he's going to be a baby who depends on his creation to feed him, clothe him, take care of him, protect him. God, who has all the wisdom in the universe, gives it up to become a baby, to have to learn everything all over again. He's got to learn how to walk, learn how to talk. This is God with all that power. He gives it up. He sacrifices all of that because he loves you and he loves me. And he came into the world to serve that purpose of love. But that wasn't the beginning, was it? If we take December 25th as the birthday of Jesus, then his suffering began 9 months earlier when God became a single-celled human being in the womb of Mary. A single-celled human being beginning to develop arms and legs, a head and fingers and toes, eyes and ears. He who is the creator of all things is now being created in the womb, the way you and I were. The humility that God endured for your sake and mine, to come into the world, to become human. To become human. Can you think of how big a step that was down from being God? How much he endured because of your need and my need. He had a purpose. He had to fix what was broken. And so he came into the world He didn't come riding on a horse or a chariot or an Escalade. He came into the world to be laid in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. The humble situation into which God was born. Into what situation were you born? I got to witness some of my children being born. Pastor Bob, I didn't get to see him. No, he was too impatient. He came while I was just getting the bracelet made up downstairs. Tammy was having him upstairs. But you know, they have special rooms for mothers today. A special birthing room. All antiseptic, all clean. Take care of that mother, take care of that baby. But when Jesus came, when God came into the world, He who could afford the best chose what we would consider the least. How He humbled Himself because of His love for you. How great a love has God that He calls us His very own children. God's great love for you and for me manifested in what He has given up to give you life, a life that will never end. And so Jesus comes into the world with this tremendous load of His purpose, what He has to accomplish, to remove the sinful debt that man has, this debt that we have to pay. He carries it away on His shoulders to the cross. He carries it away and He pays the debt that you and I owe out of His love for us, because you're special. He made you special. He's given you a purpose. Do you know what that purpose is? He makes it very clear. God wants you and me to love all people. To love all people. And you know, there are a lot of people who we love that don't know Jesus. A lot of people that you and I know that are shunning Jesus. And the gift of salvation that He has won for them at such great cost. When Jesus died on the cross, He died for everyone. Objective justification. Everyone is included. No one is excluded. Not one single person. There's only one thing needful, and that is that we believe. That we believe He did it for you. And your friend who doesn't believe, your relative who doesn't believe, needs to know Jesus did it for him or her. This is important. If we really love them, can we stand by and let them go into hell? Do you know how terrible hell is? Do you know how terrible hell is for those who have to pay for their sins? Hell is described as the unquenchable fire. The word for unquenchable is asbestos. An asbestos fire. Can you imagine that? An asbestos fire? I thought it was fireproof. But the chemistry teacher told me no. It requires 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit to ignite. That's 2.5 times hotter than a house fire fully engulfed. 2.5 times hotter. And people tell me that a burn is the most painful injury a person can sustain. And so a person in hell is thrown into that fire, 5,000 degrees, in total darkness. Because, see, that's the other thing about asbestos. It burns with a black flame. It doesn't give off any light. In all that darkness, the kingdom of darkness, the Bible calls it, where there is screaming, gnashing of teeth, extreme pain. the Bible calls it. He says, and their worm shall not die. Their fire shall not be quenched. In other words, they don't pass out. They don't become unconscious. They're conscious through all of this forever and ever and ever. Where there is no light, there is no God. There is no hope. Now that's not for you and me, because you see, we believe, we're receiving, we have already received the forgiveness, we've already received the goodness of God, that's already ours. That subject of justification, the receiving of faith, where the God comes and puts the faith in our hearts, because we can't even choose to believe, can we? It's God who does it in us and through us, because somebody brought the Word of God to you and to me, opened our eyes and opened our hearts to be able to receive Jesus and to receive the wonderful gifts that He has given us, that we can live with Him, we can live with Him forever in paradise. That's the gift for you and me. Can we love all men? Can we love those who are going into hell and not share the Word with them? Can we just let it happen? Is that love? You know, as I read the Gospels, I see Jesus over and over again getting after the scribes and the Pharisees. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Really going after them. We don't see him going after the Sadducees. See, the Sadducees didn't believe in a life hereafter. They didn't believe in the Bible. But the Pharisees did. But they only believed in the law. They didn't believe in the gospel. They didn't believe in God's love. He was so close. And Jesus kept after them, trying to get them to see how much God loves them and how much God has done for them, is going to do for them. And so he's reaching out to them as you and I need to reach out to those who don't believe. God wants to use you to bring that wonderful word of salvation to everyone who will listen. And if they don't listen, well, you've done what you can. You can't make them believe. Only God can do that. But if they refuse, the monkey's on their back. We need to do everything we can to bring them to the Lord. We need to do everything we can to wake them up to the wonderful opportunity that is there because of God's love. Because Jesus had a purpose and he fulfilled that purpose for you and for me. How blessed we are to have a God who loves us so much that he was willing to suffer so much, to give up so much, to become a human being, to become that helpless baby, to have to grow up all over again. I ask people, how would you like to be a baby? How would you like to have a second chance at life? And most people, I don't want to go through all that again. But Jesus did. He went through it for you and for me. And now, we have the benefit. We have the life everlasting. We have the assuredness. We have the confidence of knowing that we are saved. We are going to be with Him forever in heaven. And we have a purpose to help others to have the same joy in that confidence, trusting in God for all, everything. Trusting in God with that saving faith. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. O come to us, abide in us, O Lord Emmanuel. Let us now join in the confession of our faith according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, for this day, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into our world to live among us, to save us. Help us to remember the love that made Jesus willing come and sacrifice so much for us. As you tell us in Romans 5, that Jesus died for us while we were still sinners, his enemies. But his love for us overcame our sin and gave us faith. And now we love him. Lord, we pray that you would teach us to love like this, that you would teach us to give freely of ourselves to serve those around us, especially those who are hard to love. You loved and sped the mistreatment, and we want to do the same. Give us the undeserved love to treat well those who treat us badly. Give us the grace to give them all they need, and when given the opportunity, give us the words to share the reason for the hope we have. Help us to tell them of your love for you and for them. Give us the courage to freely share about you so that they also may know you and become members of your family. Please be with all those who have so little this Christmas. Please give them the peace and the comfort, and if all possible, give us to give it to them. Open our eyes to the needs of others. Open our hearts to feel their pain so that we can respond with the love that you give us. Help us to be selfless as you were selfless in leaving heaven to be born to a poor family without a place to stay. Let us remember that when we help the least of these, we give aid to you. Usually at Christmas we pay for peace and comfort, but today we ask that you would disturb us a bit as well. Let us be aware of the world around us. People, you died to save. Help us to do what we can to bring them your peace. Help us, O Lord God, to be your servants, to be your voice to those who need to hear your words through Jesus Christ, who also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you peace. Amen. I thank you all for being here this morning, for celebrating with us the coming of God into the world as a human being to take your place in mine, earning for us the righteousness of God and the forgiveness of sins. So we don't have to worry about the judgment, do we? For we know that he has done it all. He's taken away our badness to the cross, and he's given us his goodness by which we will be judged. Praise him, honor him with your love. Amen.